to Historical Nerdery, the show that destroys the myths of the American Revolution, one podcast at a time. I am your head nerd, Alexander Kane. On today's episode, we'll discuss the Ipswich Fright, a false rumor that spread throughout Essex County, Massachusetts, in the aftermath of the battles of Lexington and Concord, and caused widespread panic and the collapse of social order. I hope you will join us today on Historical Nerdery. Let's get into the show. 2 days after the battles of Lexington and Concord, widespread panic once again set in amongst the Massachusetts population. Known as the Ipswich Fright, this psychological phenomenon led to the mass abandonment of homes and the evacuation of the North Shore and Merrimack Valley residents into neighboring Colony, New Hampshire. Local tradition suggests that on the morning of April 21, 1775, a British naval cutter anchored at the mouth of the Ipswich River. In response, the local alarm list of the town of Ipswich mobilized, but did not engage the enemy. Nevertheless, an unfounded rumor began to spread inside the town that British regulars had landed and were laying waste to everything before them. With most Essex County, Massachusetts minute and militia companies away at the Siege of Boston, a massive panic set in. By mid-morning, as a New Hampshire Minuteman company marched through the town of Ipswich, the commanding officer noted that most of the residents were in a state of great panic. Unfortunately, the rumor quickly spread to neighboring towns. According to one Beverly, Massachusetts account, almost simultaneously, the people of Beverly were smitten with the same terror. It was then believed that the enemy had fallen upon Ipswich and massacred the inhabitants without regard to age or sex. A few hours later, the rumor had spread over 16 miles away to the seaside community of Newburyport. According to one account, a Newburyport Congregationalist minister named Carey was holding a parish meeting when alarm rider Ebenezer Todd burst in and announced, turn out, for God's sake, or you will all be killed. The regulars are marching on us. They are at Ipswich, cutting and slashing all before them. The fright continued westward towards Haverhill and Andover. An early 19th century account of the incident suggests that an alarm rider instructed Haverhill residents to turn out, get a musket, turn out. The regulars are landing on Plum Island. Just like the civilian evacuation of April 19, 1775, as the panic set in, many residents quickly gathered or buried their valuables and then fled northward towards New Hampshire. A witness would later recall a Newburyport woman having concealed all of her pewter and silverware in the well, filled a bag with pies and other edibles, and set off with it and her family for a safer place. In such towns as Newburyport, Amesbury, Haverhill, Bradford, and Methuen, civilians overwhelmed the local ferries as they tried to cross the Merrimack River. In Newbury, one distraught woman, having run 4 or 5 miles in great trepidation, stopped on the steps of Reverend Mr. Noble's meeting house to nurse her child, and to her horror found that she had brought off the cat and left the child at home. Residents of the North Parish District of Andover, currently North Andover today, fled to a woodlot known as Den Rock and remained there for at least a day. In Newburyport, the houses at Turkey Hill were filled with women and children who spent the night in great trepidation. Essex County civilians were so overcome with fear and despair that they began to turn on each other. According to one period account, an anonymous gentleman, having placed his family on board of a boat to go to Ram's Island across from Gloucester, was so annoyed with the crying of one of his children that he exclaimed in a great fright, "Do throw that squalling brat overboard, or we shall all be discovered." An Essex County woman fled her home with a market wallet filled with food. After traveling some distance, she set it down to speak with someone. When she returned to the bag, she discovered that her neighbors had turned on her and that she had been robbed by them. Residents near the Parker River Bridge in Newbury nearly came to blows over the proposal to destroy the structure in order to slow the regulars' advance. Of course, some residents refused to flee. One Newbury account suggests that an elderly resident took up a defensive post at his front door, loaded his musket, and declared he intended to shoot the devils when they arrived. Period accounts suggest by early evening, April 21st, 1775, Amesbury, Salisbury, and Raleigh were completely abandoned by its residents. Civilians from the interior of the Merrimack Valley, including Andover and Bradford, abandoned their towns and fled north to Exeter, New Hampshire. The panic continued well into the early morning of April 22, 1775. By then, residents of Exeter, New Hampshire had begun to suspect that the entire ordeal was nothing more than an unfounded rumor. In turn, the town dispatched an alarm rider towards Newburyport with a message that the account of a British army invading Essex County was false. As Newburyport's Benjamin Greenleaf noted in a letter to the Hampton, New Hampshire Committee of Correspondence that same day, "We were unhappily thrown into distress yesterday by false accounts received by two or three persons and spread abroad of a number of soldiers being landed at Ipswich and murdering the inhabitants. We have since heard that it arose in the first place from the discovery of some small vessels near the entrance of their river, one at least known to be a cutter, and it was apprehended that they were come to relieve the captives there in jail." Once relieved that the rumor was just that, a rumor, many residents returned to their homes. However, while many Essex County residents quickly realized that while the Ipswich fright was nothing more than a rumor, the reality was most, if not all, of their coastal communities were not prepared for a seaborne attack. If a Royal Navy warship anchored off the coast of an Essex County town, or in the case of the Merrimack Valley, entered and sailed up the Merrimack River, it could easily bombard the communities, destroy wharves and shipyards, and drive the population to the interior. The first hint of concern over this perceived threat was raised the morning of April 26, 1775. On that day, provincial Congress delegates from Haverhill, Massachusetts, begged to be excused from their responsibilities. Haverhill already had a string of bad luck in April. In the days before the battles of Lexington and Concord, the town had fallen victim to a devastating fire that destroyed most of the businesses and homes near the center of town. All of the town's militia, Minuteman, and independent companies marched for war the morning of April 19, 1775, and had not yet returned. The Ipswich fright caused most of the remaining residents of the town to flee north to New Hampshire, and many as a result were convinced it was only a matter of time before a British sloop would sail down the Merrimack River and fire the town. As a result, the Haverhill delegates pleaded to be excused from their duties. According to their petition, "The Congress have this day received a letter from Nathaniel Peasley, Sergeant Esquire, and Jonathan Webster, Esquire, acquainting them that the late dreadful fire in Haverhill, together with some public disturbances in said town, make it necessary that they should be at home at this time." Of course, Congress was unsympathetic and simply replied that if neither of those gentlemen can attend, others should be elected. However, on that very same day, the representatives of the provincial Congress started to receive a string of letters and communications from other Essex County maritime towns pleading for protection from British warships that were unexpectedly observed cruising off the Massachusetts coastline. The first report came from Marblehead, but other communications from Newburyport, Beverly, Salem, and York started to stream in as well. As the provincial Congress noted, many memorials were presented to the Congress from the maritime towns, representing that the long line of seacoast was without adequate defense, that armed vessels were hovering about the ports, ready to turn their cannon upon the villages of the shore, that the people were exhausted by strenuous exertions in the common cause, and praying for reinforcement of men and supplies of arms and ammunition. The reports horrified the provincial Congress as it came to the realization that Essex County, as well as the Maine province, were completely helpless if the Royal Navy launched a coordinated attack. Of particular concern to the congressional representatives were the Maine province communities of York, Wells, Boothbay, and Biddeford. While many Essex County towns had some defensive capabilities in the form of iron cannons, shot, and gunpowder, the Maine province had nothing. As a result, the provincial Congress ordered, "Resolved, that it be and it hereby is recommended to the selectmen of the towns of Marblehead, Salem, and Newburyport that they forthwith sell out of their town stock 4 half-barrels of powder each to said towns of York, Wells, Biddeford, and Boothbay to put the inhabitants thereof in some tolerable state of defense. And should the towns of Marblehead, Salem, and Newburyport be under the necessity of having the quantities which they have delivered to the said towns of York, Wells, Booth Bay, and Biddeford replaced, in that case, the Congress will give orders for the same as soon as it may be, the powder to be apportioned according to the number of inhabitants in the said towns. Understandably, the Essex County seaport communities opposed selling some of their military supplies to their main counterparts and argued that such a move would only weaken an already untenable position. The tense situation became worse on April 27, 1775, when the Massachusetts Provincial Congress revisited the issue and examined just how vulnerable Essex County was to a naval attack. At the conclusion of the discussion, the delegates concluded that there was nothing that could be done in the event of a Royal Navy strike against Essex County. As a result, the Massachusetts Provincial Congress adopted a stance that surely rattled the residents even more. In short, Congress simply recommended that the coastal communities of the county should prepare for a mass evacuation in the event of an attack. According to the Provincial Congress resolution, it is hereby earnestly recommended to the communities of the seaport towns in the county of Essex that they use their utmost endeavors to have all the effects of the inhabitants of their respective towns removed as soon as possible, that the Congress highly approves of the conduct of said towns in wearing a peaceful appearance until their effects shall be secured, that the Congress considers it as absolutely necessary for said inhabitants to be in readiness to go into the country on the shortest notice and to avoid mixing with our enemies, as thereby their own lives will be in imminent danger when the colony in the continent shall attack such enemies. And it is also recommended to them that their application to Congress for advice in this resolve in consequence thereof be kept a secret, that their effects may more easily be removed. As an aside, during this same crisis, the Massachusetts Provincial Congress was faced with the reality that Boston residents trapped behind British lines might be released by General Thomas Gage to relocate to the interior of the colony. Congress listed a variety of towns to take in the Boston refugees. Interestingly enough, Essex County communities were not among those towns listed. By mid-May, the coastal communities of Essex County continued to be on edge. The situation only became worse when on May 23, 1775, a detachment of British sailors and officers from the HMS Scarborough rowed into Newburyport Harbor under the cover of darkness to scout the town's defensive capabilities. According to a Essex County-based newspaper, last evening, May 23rd, a barge belonging to the man-of-war lying at Portsmouth, rowing up and down the Merrimack River to make discoveries with two small officers and six seamen. Unfortunately, the mission was an utter failure, as the tars, not liking the employ, tied their commanders, then run the boat ashore, and were so impolite as to wish the prisoners good night and came off. Upon entering Newburyport, the deserters alerted the town of the mission and the location of the officers. However, according to the newspaper report, the officers soon got loose and rowed themselves back to the ship before they were apprehended. By the end of May 1775, Essex County coastal communities finally had enough and started to take measures into their own hands. Over the summer, communities such as Salisbury, Newburyport, Marblehead, Amesbury, Salem, Beverly, and Lynn started to fortify their towns in the event of a British attack. The towns of Newburyport and Salisbury instructed fishing boats to watch the horizon for signs of Royal Navy activity. Coastal communities started to evacuate civilians to the interior communities of Essex County, while more than a few towns openly discussed abandoning their towns until the conflict with England ended. Almost 3 months later, the Massachusetts Provincial Congress relented and agreed to provide military support to those coastal communities. Specifically, on July 11, 1775, Congress declared, "Whereas many able-bodied men who were inhabitants of the seaport towns of the colony have removed their families into the country and have themselves left said towns and carried with them their arms and ammunition, therefore, resolve that this Congress do approve of the conduct of such persons so far as it respects the removing of the women and children and valuable effects. It is recommended to the male inhabitants fit to bear arms that they return to their respective towns and there continue with that dignity and firmness which ought ever to distinguish an American, and defend them from the ravages of the enemy until it shall be judged by the inhabitants of such towns at a meeting for that purpose expedient to vacate the same. Of course, Essex County's concerns of a possible naval assault were not unfounded. In August 1775, the commanding officer of the HMS Scarborough recommended that the port town of Newburyport be bombarded. In response, Admiral Graves admitted that such an operation was attractive, but was unlikely due to the lack of ships. I observe what you say about Newburyport. That place and all others indeed require to be strictly attended to. But where are the ships? 2 months later, Admiral Graves ordered Lieutenant Henry Mowat of the HMS Canseau to burn Salem, Beverly, Ipswich, Newburyport, and other Essex County seaports to the ground. Fortunately for Essex County, Mowat had other plans and attacked Falmouth, Maine instead. Looking back at the Ipswich Fright, Newburyport, Massachusetts historian Joseph Coffin perhaps best summarized the impact of the event on Essex County residents. It was a time of great anxiety and distress amongst the people, and in which, on a review of all the circumstances connected with it, there appeared such a curious commingling of the comic, the ludicrous, and the distressing as would afford ample materials for a volume of amusement. Those who witnessed the scene can never forget it, and those who did not can have but a faint idea of it from any description. I hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Historical Nerdery. To learn more about the Ipswich Fright, as well as other neat information about Revolutionary New England, be sure to check out my website, historicalnerdery.com, follow me on Facebook and Instagram, and subscribe to my mailing list. I'm Alex Kane, and this has been Historical Nerdery.